Most summers when I was going to university, I worked in construction up in northern Ontario, and I mean well up in northern Ontario. And there's not much up there except mines and wood. And you drive along the main highway sometimes, and maybe you've done it, and you drive through miles of clear-cut logging. Just miles. And there's just stumps as far as the eye can see. Boy, is that ever a depressing prospect. It really is. You look at it and you say, that's it. That's all the usefulness of that place. The axe was laid to the root of the tree. Chainsaw maybe, but we get the image. And you say to yourself, well, thank heavens that's not my experience. It certainly was the experience of the Israelites, let me tell you. It really was. And everything looked good. For 500 years after the reign of King David, the monarchy held. Oh, they fought like crazy between themselves, but the monarchy held. But then in came the Babylonians in 587. We know exactly when they came. And the world had never seen such a mighty and efficient fighting machine. They just literally bulldozed everything before them. And it certainly looked like every single tree was cut down, because by the time they finished with Jerusalem, there was hardly one stone standing on another. And to complete it, they took everyone they could find of anybody who was anybody and dragged them back to Babylon. What a prospect. And then the prophet Isaiah says, a shoot shall come up from the stump of Jesse. It was the family of Jesse that was King David, the monarchy, the one that the Jews were told would forever reign on the throne of Israel. And that certainly looked like that was over. And he said, yes, but a shoot will come up. We've all seen that. You know, you cut a plant down or a tree down, maybe some Manitoba maple, you can't kill that thing, right? The shoots will come up. They come up regardless. It looks dead, desiccated, over. But there's that life force that's there. In the book of Job, it says, and a tree shall naturally seek out to its roots to the water, so that a shoot will spring forth again. And that's what the promise of Isaiah was. But it won't be just some sort of sickling plant. You often get that, you know, some sucker that comes out from the roots or whatever. No, this will be something very different. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. We heard this. If you were here last week at this Mass, at confirmation, these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. That means respect. The Spirit of the power and the grace of God. And that's what will come. That's the promise. And the promise is made not just for what that individual is going to be, that new leader. The promise is for you. All of you have been confirmed with that same power of the Holy Spirit that is being talked about here, so that you may grow up in the power and the graciousness and the certainty of the Lord. That's what it means. It means that for ourselves, that the righteousness of God will be able to flourish in our lives. Because St. Paul says, whatever was written in former days, whatever was written, is written for our instruction, so that by steadfast and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we may have hope. You can look around in the world, and you can see all kinds of people that might have hope. They have a hope which is very, very limited in a lot of cases, but they have hope. I was struck by a conversation around the time of the American Thanksgiving, when somebody said, you should give thanks. And the other person on the panel said, to whom are you going to give thanks? You don't believe in God, so who are you giving thanks to? Well, I'm giving thanks to in a general spirit. And this guy said, well, that's just stupid. You have nobody to give thanks to if you don't believe in God. Who's responsible for it? You're going to give thanks to atoms or molecules? He said, no. Everything works with the grace and in the grace of God. And it's that reason that we have hope. St. Paul says in another place, you're the stupidest people if you don't believe in God, because how could you possibly have hope, right? All you can have is good luck, you know, some fortuitous arrangement of your life. We have hope, even in the most difficult of times, even when it's seen that as if the axe is being laid at the root of not just the trees, but at my roots. Even if it seems that all is dark, St. Paul says, remember this. Remember he delivers the needy one who calls. Remember that you were called to be able to have with one voice to glorify God. That is a certainty. That's a certainty we have. Next week, we will talk about what that means in terms of the joy. because the third Sunday of Advent always talks about the joy of the coming of the Lord. But now it is this reality of hope. And it isn't just hope for you. It isn't just saying, I have hope, and that's a good thing. No, it's hope for the rest of the world. If we could read on two more lines in this second reading, it's St. Paul who quotes Isaiah, that same reading that we hear. And he quotes it to be able to say, whether for the circumcised, that is for the Jews, or whether for the Gentiles, I'm telling you a new message. And this is the message, that it can look bleak. It can look like you're in a wilderness. It can look like somebody just bulldozed over top of you. But the truth of the matter is that God will raise up, even from these desiccated roots, that new life. Even when it seems that your own life can be dry and desiccated, God will raise up you again. As he raised up his son, he raises up me, he raises up you. That is our hope. That is our certainty. That's why we come each Sunday to be able to be fed from the altar, so that we can receive the Eucharist, that very body of Jesus Christ, to share in the certainty of his resurrection. Not off in some distant time. Oh, that's true too. When we have our creed and we talk about the resurrection of the body, it's true. But we also need each and every day to have that certainty and that strength to be raised up. And we need to say to others that it's possible too. There's a difference between we who believe and the others who don't believe. And the difference is hope. It isn't just a political slogan from the States from 8 years ago. You know, that's not it. The reason that that slogan resonated with people is because everybody needs hope. There can be wonderful days and there can be down days. There can be wonderful times and there can be very difficult times. But the truth is that in all times, we need to be able to lift up our eyes to see from whence shall come our help. We need to be able to recognize that he will deliver all of those who call upon his name, the poor and those who have no helpers, those who may feel isolated, and those who, thank God, have all kinds of people around them to be able to help. This is why we can welcome one another. We welcome one another in the name of Jesus Christ, and we say, come in and share what I have. Share what I have in the fullness of the power of Jesus Christ, because this is what God has done for me. When those people went back from the River Jordan, they went back to proclaim the good news. I know it was in a limited way, because Jesus wasn't yet revealed to them. But they proclaimed the good news that those sins that they thought were going to drag them down were going to be able to be forgiven. That they were forgiven and they could start anew. That's the message that we're called to be able to bring out to the people that you're in with in your lives, your social circles, your own families, to say, look, this is the hope. This is the hope. You don't have to live in that wilderness. We were first created in a garden, and we may have lost that garden, and we're in that wilderness now, but we have another garden that is before us. That same garden, if you remember, where Jesus Christ was first recognized by Mary Magdalene, he was recognized in that garden to say, this is our destiny. This is what we are to be. We're to be raised up by a one who truly is the divine gardener, to quote one of the great theologians, who will tend us, who will have us grow into his life, and then be able to bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ, the fruit that the world, you, and I need.